Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Professor Stephen Durloff is with us, a leading economist who runs the Harris Stone Center for Research for Wealth, Inequality, and Mobility at the University of Chicago. Thank you for joining us today, Professor. If average people found yesterday confusing, especially those who rely on Medicaid, and then we saw that was rescinded today, as an economist and one of the leading economists, did you find what was happening confusing, or are you able to explain it to us?
Well, I think what I can do is explain the confusion. And what I mean by that is that the, as you know, there's been numerous changes over the course of the day. The background is the Trump administration pursued what I'll call an historically unprecedented policy, which was to pause funds that were already reallocated, and did it in a blanket fashion through the memo of the Office of Management and Budget. In response to that, people were thrown into pandemonium. In other words, there were a set of exemptions, but what you saw was overwhelming uncertainty throughout the United States. It wasn't clear whether people that were receiving food assistance were going to be covered. One can go down the litany of disadvantaged peoples who were directly affected. If you took the other side of the distribution, universities, memos were sent out saying that there has to be a pause on all spending money, the processing of research grants, all that ground to a complete halt. And so the source of it was this blanket memorandum. What happened over the last 24 hours was that, or after it was released, there's been a sequential set of removals of coverage, and then eventually the memo itself was rescinded. But even the latest statement by the press secretary is that it was rescinded because of the issue of court cases on its constitutionality. But in fact, the specific executive orders to stop funding are all in place. And so there's still a lot of uncertainty.
Absolutely, there is. I know that not only you study and you're an economist, but you also look at sociology and psychology, and the impact of what happened yesterday and continues today not only affects working class people, but those who are already living in poverty have a hard time digesting this and trying to understand how it impacts them and whether they're going to get the medical needs met, whether they're going to be able to eat, whether they're going to have child care. What is your biggest concern about the new administration and how they're doing business?
Well,
and the impact that it has on the very people that I just mentioned.
Well, I divide into two pieces. One, in terms of how they're doing business, this has been controlled chaos. In other words, making outrageous policy changes, and outrageous not in terms of being conservative or liberal, but simply in terms of breaking precedents and the long established ways of proceeding to make change. And then the second is the to be blunt, lack of sympathy for disadvantaged people. And I could use harsher language for that, but the upshot is that every year of the first Trump presidency, there was an effort to cut food assistance by 25%. When you go down into a long laundry list of efforts to reduce assistance to people that are disadvantaged. And so regardless of the contemporary chaos, it is, I think, quite clear that the administration, with the support of the Congress, since the Republicans control both branches, will engage in substantial diminutions of the social safety net.
And who is there to stand up against it?
Well, presumably a coalition of, primarily Democrats, but, some set of Republicans who are not going to be supportive of the draconian policies. I don't want to define the two parties as having no overlap in terms of beliefs, et cetera. But I think if you look at public opinion polls and see how poorly the approval ratings are of the Democratic Party, and combine that with what seems to me to be an extraordinarily tepid response to these proposals, I if one doesn't want these to go through, I don't think one has good reason to be pessimistic.
House Speaker Mike Johnson said it was an application of common sense and it would be, quote, harmless in the end.
Well, that's frankly, I find that an extraordinarily cruel thing to say. It's one thing to say that, you know, take me to be concrete about it. You know, if I had a research grant that was disrupted, that's an annoyance. If I were poor and I didn't know how what my possibilities were for Medicaid or what the opportunities are for assistance with child care, these are very, very painful things. And the idea that the infliction of pain over 24 hours or 90 days is somehow something you average out, it's an inhumanity which speaking to you not now as a social scientist, but simply as a citizen. And I think it's really a terrible thing to have said.
As a social scientist, you said there were many memos going around yesterday. It's funding for research grants. It's a variety of things. So it didn't just affect poor and disadvantaged people. It really did affect every citizen of this country. Is that a fair thing to say?
I think it's a fair thing to say. I mean, just to give one example, the initial memo appeared to cover the assistance the federal government gives to states and localities, and that's something on the order of $1 trillion. And 30% of the revenues that are expended at that level. So by implication, everybody's living in one of them, and so they're going to be affected.
Were they able to save any money just by freezing it yesterday? Not really, right?
I suspect not, because right now they're reversing everything. I should be clear, not reversing everything. There was a set of more targeted memos about everything, you know, saying everything's going to be frozen that has is associated with DEI initiatives, or freezes. I believe one memo had to do with federal assistance for people that are seeking abortions. Those presumably are going to continue, and the courts will have to adjudicate what the authority of the president is there. This actually happened under Richard Nixon, where he tried to impound funds, and the Congress resolved it by passing legislation that deeply circumscribed the president's authority to do this. And so President Trump, during the campaign, claimed that the congressional legislation was unconstitutional, and they were going to challenge it. So given the changes in the Supreme Court, I would hesitate to give any prediction on whether whether legislations existed for half a century will suddenly be declared unconstitutional.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.